This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Medical professionals often prescribe opiates to their patients suffering from chronic pain, but those drugs can be addicting. The Chronic Pain Teams program through UC Health challenges specialists to come up with alternative ways to help patients with their pain. And here to talk about this program and ways to help those struggling with pain are family physician and primary care researcher in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Nancy Elder. Anesthesiologist and pain management specialist at University of Cincinnati Medical Center, Dr. James Fortman, and family physician at UC Health Primary Care, Dr. Leela Saxena. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Nancy, Leela, and James, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Happy to be here.
And Nancy, tell me, why is there a need for a program like this?
Because so many patients have chronic pain. And as we were actually talking about a few minutes before we started, chronic pain, we describe very broadly pain that lasts more than 3 or 6 months and interferes with a person's ability to do what they want to do is kind of what we consider to be chronic pain. Years ago, 10, 15 years ago, physicians were told, oh, go ahead and use opioids. Your patients won't get addicted. Well, we certainly know that's not true now. And many patients have problems with it. You can't open up the paper or turn on the radio without hearing about the opioid epidemic. We also know that people with chronic pain are not getting the kind of help they need. The pain is really interfering with the way they live their lives. Everything from arthritis in a 65-year-old to nerve pain in a diabetic patient to even chronic abdominal or pelvic pain in a young woman. So many different ways pain can interfere with the life. So most of these patients see their primary care doctor, their family physician, their general internist, for relief from the pain. And unfortunately, a lot of primary care doctors are like, gosh, I'm not quite sure what to do, or this is so complex and complicated, because people don't just have chronic pain. They have chronic pain and diabetes and high blood pressure and ulcers and all sorts of other health problems. So we put this program together to help primary care doctors, family physicians, and general internists here in the Cincinnati area get expert advice on how to take care of their patients with chronic pain from a team of pain experts. And James Fortman, who's here, is the leader of our team of experts, which include pain management, pharmacology, a pharmacist, a behavioral health psychiatrist, an addiction specialist, a physical therapist, and an integrative medicine doctor. So primary care doctors, and Dr. Leela Saxena here is a primary care doctor out in the community, and she's joined into many of our telehealth conferences, because we do this all by telehealth, using webinars and phones and computers. So doctors just log in once a month from their offices to present patients, to get help, and to learn more about the program, so that if we just had one patient, we'd just be helping one patient. But by helping dozens of doctors like Dr. Leela Saxena, she helps dozens and dozens and hundreds of patients in her practice from what she is learning from people like Dr. James Fortman and the other experts we
have. Sounds like it's a mentoring program.
It is. It's tele-mentoring is what we call it, or tele-coaching for primary care to help their patients with chronic pain.
Leela, how common is it for you to see somebody who has chronic pain in your practice?
Oh, that's very common. I would say probably have a number of patients each day that come in for follow-up on their chronic pain. And that can be, as Nancy had mentioned, anywhere from chronic back pain, previous injuries, pelvic pain. Could be really anything that they have that needs management.
Now, Nancy, what was the model for this program?
Yeah. I'd love to tell you we're brand new and original and thought it up ourselves, but we are building on the backs of people who have developed this. There's a Project ECHO, E-C-H-O, first developed at the University of New Mexico to do telementoring. They began it around hepatitis C, believe it or not, but they have done it for pain and for a number of other problems like that. And so a few years ago, we were lucky enough to get a small grant that we could develop our own Project ECHO, and we call it TEAMS, which stands for telehealth. I can't remember what it stands for, Enhanced Activation Medical System. Anyway, it's our program. So we were able to use the skills of how to do telementoring from other people, and then we've very much tweaked it so that it fits the needs of our greater Cincinnati community.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. James, what's been your experience with this program?
I think it's been excellent with regards to opening up the door. If you think about it, there's one pain physician for every 10,000 people with chronic pain in the United States currently, which is a staggering number. We are not producing enough chronic pain physicians. So instead, we need to find a way to empower our primary care doctors who are seeing these people first line and be able to give them options to be able to treat pain better in the future. And our primary care physicians at UC Health and in the Cincinnati area, I think they do a good job. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that they have other options and different modalities. Every time I see a patient, and I always wish I had seen them 6 months earlier. We maybe could have changed the heading of the ship a little bit better and ended up at a better course for the patient. So instead, we're hoping to empower our primary care physicians to be able to change that course earlier on in the treatment, find out when it's appropriate, when it's not appropriate to refer on to whichever specialist, and utilize a multimodal approach as opposed to just that 8th and 9th and 10th Percocet a day. That's not going to help. That's not going to change the outcome. But instead, if we can change the outcome early, hopefully we'll get better long-term for our patients.
So the way you're talking about Percocet, about using painkillers, it sounds like you view them as a Band-Aid maybe? They're not the complete answer?
Opioids are a option for pain. It's not the only option in the world. Typically, opioid therapy alone is not considered an excellent option. You should always have at least one or two other modalities that are being used as opposed to just monotherapy with opioid. The saying is monotherapy is no therapy, and it goes back to the fact that, you know, opioids work as a way of blocking some of the pain receptors, decreasing the amount of pain you receive. But if your pain's happening because you have a tight muscle or a disc has slipped or something else is going on, all you're really doing is masking that pain.
So you're treating the symptom as opposed to actually dealing with the problem itself.
Correct. So utilizing it's okay as long as there's a goal in mind. If the goal is to be able to do your physical therapy, strengthen up your back, hopefully decrease the amount of pain you're having, and then at some point work towards maybe getting those medications lowered to a lower level or even stopped if possible.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, here to talk about the Chronic Pain Teams program and ways to help those struggling with pain. Our family physician and primary care researcher in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Nancy Elder, anesthesiologist and pain management specialist at University of Cincinnati Medical Center, Dr. James Fortman, and family physician at UC Health Primary Care, Dr. Leela Saxena. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Nancy, I take it this program is open to any physician who has questions about how to manage chronic pain for his patients?
It definitely is. So any primary care physician, we certainly market it more to our region, to the Cincinnati area, because we know resources that we can share, places to go, people who might know information, access for patients in our region better. But certainly any primary care physician is welcome. It's free. There's no cost to the physician. And they can call in from any phone or any computer anywhere. All they need to do, and I think it'll be on your website, is to contact our project manager, program manager, and she just sends out the link and the telephone number to any primary care doctor who wants to participate. Once a month, we do this over the lunch hour.
So it's on Thursdays, is
mm-hmm.
it?
First okay. Thursday of the month.
We got an email question from Gary, and he wondered if the panel could talk about the option of using TENS as a tool to manage pain.
James Foreman here. TENS units can be helpful for chronic pain. They're a transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulator is what it stands for. The key is using it for the proper type of pain. It responds well for myofascial pain. It's not as good for different other pains. So typically for my patients, we can prescribe one, and if it's covered by your insurance, they can get you one for home use. Another way to do it is actually to go to a physical therapy department, try it out there and see if it actually helps. If it is helpful, then they work on getting you one that you can use at home. Typically, you use it for anywhere between 15 to 30 minutes. You can use it 3 to 4 times a day. They're relatively discreet. You can wear them on your belt buckle, so to say, have them under the wires under your shirt to your back to help with your pain throughout the day, and to turn them on and off. No one even knows that they're there. And it can be a modality that can be helpful. It's not something that's going to fix your pain long term, but it is going to help ease the pain that you're having, that hopefully you're able to then springboard that forward into parlaying it to physical therapy and different things to help with your pain.
Let's talk with Kate in Montgomery. Good afternoon, Kate.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for discussing this. This is a topic near and dear to my heart as I'm coming out of 3.5 years of chronic myofascial pain. But I've had a lot of success, and I've had great improvement. But my improvement is thanks to my ability to dedicate what I would say is above average monetary resources and time resources to non-traditional sources of recovery. And it's so discouraging to know that so many people aren't able to do that because they rely on their insurance reimbursements or coverage or Medicaid or Medicare, what's available, and to not be able to do, to find a good acupuncturist, to find a good personal trainer, to find a good effective physical therapist for their particular problem, because all those lesser traditional avenues, there's such a wide range of specialties that can help so many different types of problems.
Kate, if you don't mind my asking, what have you found to be most helpful?
Well, right now, my greatest success, in fact, I'm pulling into this parking lot right now, my greatest success has been with a very specialized personal trainer in Evendale who gets a lot of referrals for people who are trying to avoid surgery or are at the end of their rope with chronic
pain. So exercise?
Exercise, but I wasn't able to exercise for a long time. I went to, I was on a regular rotation with my acupuncturist, a pelvic floor physical therapist, a very good muscular chiropractic specialist. When I started at my gym at TriHealth, I could really only use the warm water pool and the seated stepper. And here I am a year and a half later, and I was able to wakeboard last week, which is amazing for what I've been, when I see what I've been through.
Okay,
my last straw for me was when the doctor wanted me on opioids to manage all the time. That was their last suggestion. I had 5 cortisone shots. So I would just love to see the pain management people helping to be able to get away from the hard, the heavy drugs.
Okay, good luck to you in dealing with this, Kate, and thank you for the phone call so much. You know, she brings up a first, I think, is a good point, James. She's talking about accessibility to this, isn't she?
It is a big accessibility issue. It sounds like, you know, fortunately she had resources to be able to find the places that she needed for help, but a lot of times the acupuncture, the integrative health options are not always available to every single patient. A lot of the insurance companies don't find them to be quote-unquote standard of care, so therefore they won't cover them, despite the fact that there is relatively good evidence that it is an option. We have an integrative health center at UC Health. I refer patients to it all the time. They go over there and they kind of pick and choose what options are available and see, you know, what is covered, what's not by their insurance. But a lot of times acupuncture is not going to be covered by insurance. Massage therapy is not going to be covered by insurance, despite the fact that these patients really can benefit from it. And it sounds like she was able to use that success to move forward with a personal trainer, do targeted core strengthening, and has actually done really well. So that's excellent for her, and I'm very happy to hear that that's worked out for her.
One of the things we've discovered is that I like where that the caller talked about this change that she had in the way she thought about her pain. So instead of going to the doctor and having somebody do something to her, she said, I need to start doing something. And a lot of what we try to work with in with our patients is helping them move to that next step of engagement and empowerment that I can do things. And we, you know, it's great that she did have all these resources. One of the things we try to do in our mentoring, our tele-mentoring, is help primary care doctors know where there are low-cost things. They're not going to be as fancy as what she talked about, but sometimes it's enough to get somebody moving. And I wonder, Leela, have you found that when you have your patients to try and get them access to this and help them move to the place where they want to use those types of modalities?
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly have patients that have been limited by their income and their high deductible insurance plan that say, no, I can't go to physical therapy. I have to pay, you know, copay, or I have to pay the entire amount every time I go, and that is very limiting. But it is nice to know, and I found that this program has been really helpful in giving me other options that I can use for my patients in terms of who is a good acupuncturist, who is someone that is a good physical therapist, you know, where can we get the most for what we need for this patient's particular problem. And it's been helpful. What's nice about this program is that it's once a month, and a different physician will present a case of one of their patients. And it can be different questions, like this person has chronic back pain. I presented a case on a patient who has chronic headaches. Others where I have a patient with chronic pain who also has dialysis. You know, what would be the best modality for this particular patient? And we all have, all us primary care doctors have panels of patients that cover all these different things, and so it's been very helpful.
So this
to get,
is like a big, excuse me, this is like a big brainstorming session for you. Got all these experts together and said, "Here's what my patient's going through. What do each of you, with each of your different specialties, what do you think about how this patient's case should be handled?"
Right, absolutely. And what's great is that you present your patient what they've tried before, what they're currently doing, and then the panel experts will go through and ask questions to clarify, and then they give each one of them gives recommendations. It's very interesting, and you just learn so much and get so many great ideas.
Let's talk with Elisa in Loveland.
Hello. I have a question regarding fibromyalgia.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And fibromyalgia is an ongoing thing. There is no cure, and it is one of the, quote, invisible diseases. I have tried almost everything, at least everything that I know, and there's still no real improvement or relief. I have been told, oh, well, you can, you know, go to a gym and work out.
That's tough to do, though, isn't it?
Exactly. And the same with, oh, try swimming. That will not have any impact on your joints. Well, as a result of trying that, I ended up needing rotator cuff surgery. And it's like a vicious cycle of what to do to manage the pain.
That is one. That is a very difficult area to deal with fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia, and it's a perfect example that chronic, if there was a pill or a shot or a surgery that would make you better, somebody would do it. So obviously there isn't one thing that's going to make you better or people with this type of pain better, and it is going to be chronic. I think that the despair I heard in the caller's voice just really made me aware, and I think our panelists can speak to this, the fact that people with chronic pain are two times more likely to have depression as well, and three times more likely to be anxious and have anxiety. So the overlap, you know, and which came first, the chicken or the egg, doesn't really matter. You know, did the chronic pain lead to depression, or did somebody who was depressed feel their pain more? Both are true. But it one of the things we know is that we also have to help people with their emotional and mental health when they have chronic pain. Even if we can't get somebody's pain from a level 10 to a level 0, maybe we can get it to a level 6, and we can work on their mental and emotional health so that they can see and find still enjoyment in life.
I agree with that. You know, ultimately, it's all about functionality, ability to function, live your life, be able to do things you need to do. Fibromyalgia can be a very challenging disease process, and there definitely is that mind-body connection at which point, you know, which one causes which. But ultimately, they're all just fueling the fire. You know, anxiety fuels the fire for depression, which fuels the fire for pain, and it keeps going back and forth. So that's why we offer that multimodal approach. You know, we have the integrative health specialist, physical therapy, addictionologist. It doesn't sound like there's an addiction issue with this patient, but in general, you make sure that those issues aren't being a problem. You have a psychiatrist to help with the psychiatric problem. We have a pain physician to help with integrative injections, interventional procedures. All these things together with physical therapy hopefully give a good option for our primary care colleagues to be able to craft a treatment plan for not just that patient that we're talking about, but the next 10 patients they see with similar symptoms.
And I also point out that, and I see this, and probably both Leela and James do too, that sometimes patients say, I tried that 3 years ago and it didn't work. But today, this person might be in a different place, and the muscles may be different than they were before. The mindset may be different. We talk a lot about mindfulness and relaxation and progressive muscle relaxation. So it didn't work 3 years ago, but perhaps this person might be in a different place. So sometimes some of the things that our primary care docs are learning about and are offering to patients, they also learn how to offer them. Well, it didn't work 5 years ago, but maybe we can do it differently, and it just might be the right thing right now.
Let's talk with Greg and Anderson. Hi, Greg.
Hi there. I was wondering if the doctors were aware of a patented curcumin extract called BCM95 that has been used in a clinical test against Celebrex and then a separate test against Voltaren for rheumatoid arthritis. Are you doctors aware?
Anybody familiar with that one?
We are all looking at each other and giving each other querying looks, so I have to say no.
Baylor University and Dr. Ajay Goel, G-O-E-L. He's using it for colon rectal cancer as well, but the product by itself is being used for rheumatoid arthritis. And the other woman who was wondering about fibromyalgia, it reduced C-reactive protein by 52% with 2 capsules for 8 weeks.
Wow.
This is in the test against the Voltaren for rheumatoid arthritis.
Greg, thank you for the call. And undoubtedly, there's a lot of research and a lot of people looking at alternative medications and alternative methods for dealing with chronic pain.
Definitely. And I think that our basic science and our clinical research colleagues are continuing to look for medications, treatments, in James' world, injections and surgeries and types of things to help with pain, because it is such a big issue. As many, depending on where your studies are, as many as 25% of our patients come to us in primary care with a chronic pain issue.
They said that chronic pain affects more people in America than heart disease currently, if you look at the statistics. So it's overwhelming.
Yep.
Thanks to all of you for joining us this afternoon. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Department of Family and Community Primary care researcher and family physician in the Department of Family and Community Medicine at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Nancy Elder. Anesthesiologist and pain management specialist at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, Dr. James Fortman. And family physician at UC Health Primary Care, Dr. Leela Saxena. Coming up, a look at the effects of spanking and other ways to discipline kids. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.